For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time onward and forevermore. I'd like to take this opportunity to welcome all of you, wherever you are, who are joining us for our online Christmas Eve service, the first of its kind, this year, 2020. And we are pleased to bring you the service of lessons and carols and a few other things that we have prepared. And I'd like to take this opportunity to thank especially our musicians and our production team for all of the time and effort and planning that they have put into this. God bless us as we worship the one whom has been sent.
A frosty Christmas Eve, when the stars were shining, I traveled forth alone, where westward falls the hills, and for many, many a village, in the darkness of the valley, distant music greets me, here's a sped my thoughts to olden times, to that first of Christmases, when shepherds who were watching heard music in the fields, and they sat there and they marveled. They knew they could not tell whether it were angels or the bright stars a-singing. But to me heard afar, it was starry music, the singing of the angels, the comfort of our Lord, words of hope that come a-traveling by the riches of the time. And I softly listened as I stood upon the hill, and I softly listened as I stood upon the hill.
Thank you. On the eve of our Christmas celebration, Jesus' birthday, we relight the Advent candles. First, we light the candle for hope because Jesus is our hope. Second, we light the candle for peace because Jesus is our hope and peace. Third, we light the candle for joy because Jesus brings us joy. Finally, we light the candle for love because Jesus is love. Let us pray. Great God of love and light, we thank you now for the light of that special star over 2,000 years ago that guided humble shepherds and learned wise men to the holy babe. Lead us now by the light of your love, that we also may follow you to new life in him. In celebration of the birthday of our King and our Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray, Amen.
Tonight's Old Testament reading is Isaiah, the 52nd chapter, verses 7 through 10. Hear now these words. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of the messenger who announces peace, who brings good news, who announces salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. Listen. Your sentinels lift up their voices. Together they sing for joy. For in plain sight they see the return of the Lord to Zion. Break forth together into singing, you ruins of Jerusalem, for the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord has bared his holy arm before the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God.
Tonight's New Testament reading is Hebrews 1, 1 through 4. Hear now these words. Long ago, God spoke to our ancestors in many and various ways by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by a Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he also created the worlds. He is the reflection of God's glory and the exact imprint of God's very being. And he sustains all things by his powerful word. When he had made purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs.
Thank you.
It is our tradition and our motivation here at Mayflower Church to take all of what is received on Christmas Eve and give it to an organization, sometimes a person or a family that is in great need. We all know that in 2020, there is great need with people who need food, shelter, clothing, and someone to offer kind words and encouragement. And so with that, we're doing something that Mayflower Church has done many times in the past, and that is give our offering to the Salvation Army, which will be used for all of those purposes to help alleviate need both in our community and all around the world. So I'd like to say, first of all, thank you, as many, perhaps most of you, have responded and responded generously. If there's anybody else that's listening and would like to and are able to give, you can either mail it or drop it off the church at your convenience. That offering, all of it, will be forwarded to the Salvation Army. And thank you.
Tonight, we light the center candle, which, as you can see, is white, and it is the Christ candle. Jesus was born. Jesus has come. Jesus is our salvation. The gospel reading I'm going to read is from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. Hear now these words. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and without Him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in Him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh, or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth.
Flowered mid the snows upon a winter night, was born the child, the Christmas rose, the King of love and light. The angels sing, the shepherds sang, the grateful earth rejoiced. Thank you.
Let us pray. Gracious God and loving Lord, I left a warm house tonight and got into a nice car with leather interior. And I drove on smooth, dry roads. And I came into this beautiful sanctuary with God's beautiful people and so beautifully decorated. And there was warmth and light and love. And I thank you for my blessings. And I could list many more. But in my blessings, O Lord, and for all of us, we shall not forget nor leave alone those who suffer tonight. We pray not only for the offering that has been given to help alleviate the need, but Lord, we tune our hearts and our minds and our will and our desire to help others in the spirit and motivation of the one for whom whose praises we sing. So I would pray for all those who are sick and afflicted with COVID-19. For those who are lonely, some of whom are listening and watching tonight. The bereaved who experienced loss. Those who feel hungry right now and even tomorrow on Christmas Day. The homeless, some of whom are desperately cold and looking even for just a blanket. I pray for all those who do not or have not ever heard of the love of Christ, or because of some reason, perhaps, have rejected it. But, Lord, we pray that you would be with all those, especially those who have been hurt in the life and ministry of the church. So we bring our blessings and our own needs, but most importantly, the needs of others. Without that, our words and our testimony would amount to nothing. Amen. Many good sermons and movies have the element of suspense. And the title of my meditation tonight, and by the way, a meditation is a shorter version of a sermon. And it was designed to create suspense. But I'm going to blow it right now. And if Paul, if you're watching, I'm sorry for all the drama coaching you've given me. I'm going to just give it up right now and saying, are you ready to let me just blow the suspense? When the question has been asked in the title, A Christmas Without Jesus. And here's my response. Of course there is no Christmas without Jesus. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, the one which was read, is a perfect Christmas Eve meditation. Gone are the angels, the shepherds, the magi, any mention of a manger, frankincense and myrrh, an innkeeper, Mary, Joseph, or a baby, like we find in Matthew and Luke. In one sense, John might not read as well for Christmas Eve, unless we can step a little outside of our comfort zones. John's story is more of an abstract and propositional story. Without naming Jesus in these opening verses or offering any details about his birth, curiously, John tells a story not about Jesus, but about God. And Jesus' story is always about God's story. We spend a lot of time and effort trying to prove that Jesus is God. John's gospel, however, gives it to us in the reverse. John tells us that God is Jesus. And in all of John's gospel, quite different from each of the other three, Jesus' origin is reaffirmed in many different ways. John tells us that Jesus came from above, that he can do nothing on his own, but only what he sees the Father doing, for whatever the Father does, the Son does likewise. He speaks just as the Father told me. If you know me, he says, you know the Father also. Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. To see me is to see him who sent me, says Jesus. He speaks just as the Father. If you know me, you will also know my Father. And whoever has seen me has seen the Father. So, there is a natural, logical, and continuing truth to this. What Jesus says and does, healing people, feeding people, challenging elite structures and practices, speaking truth to power, in other words, speaking of God's good life for all, originates not with Jesus alone, but with God. And according to this profound narrative, we have been given the power to become God's children, which means that as God's children, we too can find our origin not only in the God who creates, but in the God who loves. John says that this living Word, who is and always was, became flesh and lived among us. And if we have been given that power, we, like the one whom God sent, will also do the works of the one who sent him. And the only way anyone understands the love of God is to see the love of God. If God is in Jesus, and Jesus has come as the one whom God sent, then we, as the children of God, are now the ones through whom people, other people, will see God. God is made manifest in the words and actions of the one whom he has sent. And the one whom he has sent us. But this isn't a message without its caveat. Those to whom Jesus was sent questioned his origin, thereby questioning his credentials. They denigrated his father, Joseph, just a lonely or lowly carpenter. Denigrated the vicinity from which he came, namely Galilee, and also his hometown, Nazareth, as if anything good can come from those places. And then they asked him if he was from Samaria, which was an insult because they thought he had a demon. And they thought anyone who was in Samaria was demonic, and perhaps didn't even have the intelligence to know. They said, "This man is not from God." Origin is everything. So as we gather tonight, we declare the uncompromising affirmation as Jesus, of Jesus, the living Word, the definitive revealer of God, manifested in his deeds and actions. But, let's be honest, some do not perceive and receive. And sometimes we need to place ourselves in that same boat. Life is not always clear-cut. There are shades of gray, and God's promises that we often preach and teach about can be elusive, hidden, and indeed invisible. Our faith can seemingly fail us sometimes. So let me remind myself and all not to judge a book by its cover when it comes to others. Sounds like an old story, but it often needs to be relearned. Some people who might appreciate the traditions and customs of Christmas, even some who have tuned into our service tonight, may not resonate with all that we believe. But God is always God, and Scripture tells us that everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Taking that at face value is difficult for some believers. So I leave you with this story, which, as you will know, is very fresh. There is a part of me that gets frustrated if my neighbors don't like me. I try hard, but honestly, my effort with the neighbors is more than just getting them to like me, because I want to love them. The neighbors across the street, and I sure hope they're not listening tonight, they don't seem to like anybody. They don't really cause trouble, but you practically have to stand in the middle of the street and wave heartily to get them to even acknowledge anyone. And sometimes I do, or almost do. And when they have the opportunity, they usually look away. I sometimes get them to respond, but I have to be very creative. Now, I can't take it personally, because they treat all the other neighbors the same way. There's quite a narrative in our little part of the street. But I do take it personally, and I admit it. So I keep trying. I always wave, always say hello, and it seems like they take every opportunity to ignore me. But I haven't given up, and neither has Deanne. So, yesterday, I was gone for most of the day. Deanne was home, and when I got home late last night, I came inside and saw a beautiful fruit basket on the table. Deanne asked me to guess who it was from. I guessed it might have been someone from Mayflower, and to my disappointment, she said no. Just kidding. She said it wasn't anyone from Mayflower. It wouldn't have surprised me if that fruit basket would have come from anybody at Mayflower. And it wouldn't have surprised me if the neighbors on either side of my house would have given it. She finally told me, "You're not going to believe this. It was the neighbors from across the street." I was stunned. As far as I know, they don't attend church. They probably are not believers in the same sense that I'm a believer, even though I'd love to hear their story and maybe learn something that I don't know. But I can tell you they are not typically friendly. They are somewhat secretive, elusive, and to themselves. So it would be easy to minimize them, ignore them, and respond in kind like some of the neighbors do. Let me simply remind all of us and myself that outward signs of rejection does not always accurately describe one's inner response. Theirs was an act of love. And Deanne told me that wonderful conversation. And it's kind of a long story, so I will not share it. But again, I come back to a truth of Scripture that sometimes we might think really isn't true, but here it is. Everyone who loves is born of God. And in these beginning verses of John that leave out Jesus' name, we find a universality for encountering God's grace. God is known through the whole created order. Without him, not one thing came into being, John says. God is known in life. In him was life. And in light, and the light that enlightens everyone, the true light which enlightens everyone was coming into the world. Quote, unquote. There are many things during this season which overtly do not have much to do with Jesus. And let me name some of them. Christmas trees, Santa Claus, shopping, toys, decorations, Frosty the Snowman who's on our front porch, cheese balls. Well, the list goes on, and we all would have a unique list. But in all of these things and more, including unfriendly neighbors, sad homeless people, annoying people, cold weather, icy roads, and high heat bills, we can suddenly see and experience God. And in so doing, we experience Jesus. Merry Christmas. I love all of you. Thank you for all of your kind expressions of love, not just at Christmas, but throughout the year. Thanks be to God.
Christmas Eve, and 12 of the clock. Now they are all on their knees, an elder said as we sat in a flock by the fire in hearthside ease. We pictured the meek, mild creatures where they dwelt in their strawy pen, nor did it occur to one of us there to doubt they were kneeling then. So fair a fancy few would weave in these years yet, I feel, if someone said on Christmas Eve, come, see the oxen kneel in lonely barton by yonder coombe our childhood used to know. I would go with them in the gloom, hoping it might be so.
Thanks for watching Norm and Barb in Connecticut. Bye-bye.